We are going to use the primary deck that everyone should start with is the Rider-Waite deck. It's published by U.S. Games, comes in a variety of sizes. Here's one. This is probably the size most of you have. This I use for teaching because it's a little bit bigger. There's a reason why we use this deck. This deck grew out of a system of occult teaching called the Order of the Golden Dawn, which was a British occult society at the latter part of the 19th century into the 20th century. The reason we use this is the artist of this deck is a woman named Pamela Coleman Smith, who was deeply immersed in the symbology of the Western mystery tradition. And out of her knowledge and the knowledge of her magical order, the images on these cards were designed. The reason that's important is because the tarot has to come from a system of teaching that's based on what is known as the Western mystery tradition. The tarot in the West fulfills the same position in terms of divination as the I Ching does in the East. So it isn't something that somebody made up to make a quick buck. A unique thing about the Rider-Waite deck, and the important thing is either of those names, Rider and Waite, there have been a number of additions. A little bit of liberty was taken with the coloring. The colors are the same, but the intensity of the hues and so forth, so you might see the golden Rider deck, but as long as it's Rider-Waite, you're okay. What makes this deck unique is that it was the first deck that had pictures for all of the cards. Now, when we talk about the tarot, we're going to be using a lot of terms, and I'm going to throw the terms out. If I ever use a word you don't understand, please raise your hand and ask, because I'll define it right away. I don't want anyone to feel that, oh, I don't know that, but I don't want to ask, because that would be embarrassing. There are basically in the tarot two decks that are united, and these decks are called the Major Arcana and the Minor Arcana. The word arcana just means secrets or keys, different ways to refer to it. The Major Arcana is a deck of 22 cards numbered 0 to 21, and the Minor Arcana is a set of 56 cards that fall into four suits: the Wands, the Cups, the Swords, and the Pentacles. And each of those suits have 14 cards numbered 1 or ace through 10, and then four court cards: the page, the knight, the queen, and the king. In all the tarot decks before the Rider-Waite, you had full pictures on the 22 major arcana, and you had fairly full pictures on what are called the court cards. But traditionally, before the Rider-Waite deck, the minor arcana, the pip cards, the cards numbered 1 through 10, were not pictured. You just had the number of whatever the item is. So if you had the 5 of pentacles, you had 5 pentacles on the card. There was no picture. The 2 of cups, you had 2 cups on the card, but no picture. There are still some decks that are available, that are good decks, that are like this. Aleister Crowley's Book of Thoth deck, which is a beautiful deck, very Art Deco. He developed it in conjunction with an artist named Lady Frieda Harris. It's a beautiful deck. However, the pip cards don't have pictures. They're still the traditional non-pictured. What old readers would rely on for those decks would be their knowledge of numerology and the Kabbalah to give them the significance of, and astrology, to give them the significance of each of the cards in the pips. But the Rider-Waite was the first deck that actually sought to depict every card. That's why we use the Rider-Waite. There's a modern translation of the Rider-Waite that is very grounded. It's called the Robin Wood Tarot. It's not very easy to find. They have quite a few at a place called Alchemy Arts, used to be Aurum Solis. We carry them here in the bookstore occasionally. They're available at Amazon.com. This is a good modern rendition of the tarot. It's one that I personally recommend and I use for reading myself. But everyone needs to start with the Rider-Waite. And in fact, there are times when even if you've read for years and years and years, you go back to the Rider-Waite, because there are elements encoded in the Rider-Waite deck that you just don't find in other decks. And I think that that's extremely important that that's there. It is also very important that you find a deck that you like and you stick with it for a while. Don't get, you know, to be promiscuous in your tarot deck usage. Because over the course of time, what at first becomes kind of familiarity with the pictures gets you to a point where you break through that familiarity and you start to see the pictures in a new way. Not to mention that when you throw the cards, and in this course we will be talking about various tarot spreads as well, when you throw the cards, the significance of an individual card changes depending on what cards are around it or near it. So actually there are an infinite number of messages that the cards can give us if we're sensitive to it. But it's important that you choose a good deck. Now there are other good decks out there. I'm not, you know, don't interpret this as meaning all the other decks are garbage. But a lot of them are. And that's important to acknowledge. A lot of them are very interesting. A lot of them are cute. But the purpose that we use the tarot for, I don't want interesting and I don't want cute. I want something that has some substance. We need to treat this with respect, because what we are attempting to do with the tarot is unlock knowledge that we have in the deep recesses of our unconscious, but which our ego refuses to acknowledge. And in fact, what the tarot presents us with when we look at it as a sevenfold path to wholeness is a way to reduce the ego's power over what we feel our life path is. And that's an extremely important thing for us to do. If our goal is individuation. And it better be, or you are in the wrong institute. Okay. Something else, I noticed that many of you have the little booklets that came with your deck. Now, I'm not going to make you do this. But if you want to take my advice as your teacher in this course, you'll rip it up into tiny little bits and flush it down the toilet during the break. Now, I don't really expect you to do that, because that'll block the plumbing and then there'll be all hell to pay. But the purpose of the tarot is not to translate the images into verbal form. The purpose of the tarot is to allow the tarot to speak to us in the form in which we encounter it. Later in this course, I'll bring a tarot deck that I bought when I was in Australia. And it's a tarot deck with no pictures, just words. Boring, really boring. But, you know, it had a market. If, you know, you don't need the tarot if you want to use words. There's a whole tradition of divination using words. Bibliomancy, which is using the Bible, or stichomancy, which is using any text. I mean, you could do that. We could say, okay, ask a question, go to the library, pull the first book off the shelf that you want, put your finger on a line and read it, and interpret that line. There's a whole tradition of divination that does that. That's not what the tarot is. This doesn't mean that you don't read books about what various people feel the interpretations of the cards are. That's very valuable, but not when you're reading the cards. So when you throw the cards, read the pictures. And if there's a picture that doesn't seem to be disclosing anything to you, if there's a picture or an arrangement of cards that doesn't seem to be revealing anything to you, don't get up from your chair and go to a book. Recognize that whatever's going on, that piece of information at this point is unavailable to the ego. And this, again, I'm going to be saying this over and over and over again, this the ego doesn't like. Now, let's quick review of Jungian theory. The ego is the complex of personal identity. The ego is the part of you that's able to say, my name is whatever. It's a very important element of psyche. The problem with the ego is it tends to believe that it's all there is. In fact, there are whole schools of psychology that begin with the premise that the ego is all there is. Behaviorism is perhaps the most flagrant example of that. In fact, in behaviorism, they don't even use the word ego, because if that's all there is, why bother to name it? We don't believe that in Jungian psychology. The ego is a very important part of the psyche, but it doesn't run the show. But the ego thinks it does. So when the ego throws the cards and it finds a configuration of cards that it can't really interpret, the ego doesn't want to say, oh, there's some information here that's unavailable to me at this time for some reason. The ego wants to go to a book and look it up, and then it feels satisfied. This isn't about satisfying the ego. This is about allowing other levels of psyche to speak. So I would encourage you, at least while we're reading in the class, you can always make notes of the cards and look them up later if you want to. But while you're reading, respect the fact that the pictures have the power to disclose information to you. And you want to let them do that. And if a particular... There'll be cards that, you know, I'll be doing a reading, and I'll look at the cards, and I know what the cards mean, but in that particular reading, I draw a blank. Now, you have to respect that. Just like if you have a dream, you wouldn't expect, I hope, that every element of the dream would be able to be interpreted. Often you have a dream and you go, whoa, you know, what does that mean? And you just have to leave it, trusting that psyche will bring you what you need at a later time when the ego is going to be able to assimilate it.